I'll do it. I'm brave enough. We can say this. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, hope you had a great time over the festive period. Even if it's not your chosen religion, you had a good time relaxing with the family and peace and love was abounding. It certainly was for us. We were great. We had a lovely break and we tried to get together last week, but too many people were just not into it. So we thought, nah, stop it. Let's start on the 10th. So happy new year and welcome back, all you BTNers. Joining me, the fabulous bunch who are here to discuss the week in tech. And what a great bunch they are. We're all over the place on lines because the twos stopped working for some reason. And Greeny's in bed because he doesn't feel well, so he doesn't want his camera on. So we got a little icon of Greeny instead of the real thing. But starting us off top left, it is Atley. How you doing, buddy? Good Christmas?
Yeah, very, very good holidays. Enjoyed it quite a bit. Got to spend it with my wife's family, and we had a good time.
Yeah, Bob's complaining about the audio sync on the live feed. It's only on the live feed, so if the video comes out, it does work. That's fine. Has Greeny got a woman in bed, says Muller.
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be nice.
Or a bloke.
Yeah, well, no, okay.
That wouldn't be nice.
We are a progressive show. It would be nice if you were inclined that way, but you're not, so it's okay. The room looks very good, mate. You've got lighting up, you've got cables falling from the ceiling, you've got a load of crap to your left, but...
Yeah, I know. Actually, the cables are coming from the ceiling are the network cables and the connector cables to go out to the conduit, to different sensors and to the rest of the network, to the other items in the network.
Are you sure you're building this for you and not the CIA?
I'm building it for me.
The wiser to his early. Oh, let me know.
That's why he's not been prosecuted for the murders, because yeah. He's actually a member of the CIA.
Now he's got a whole grid. He can tell when they're a mile away or something. And it actually sinks underground, just like in Stingray.
I'm not saying that Canada's friendly or anything, but Atley's the only CIA agent in Canada. they don't need any more.
Well, it's a step up from last time I was a serial killer, so I'll take it.
Well, no, because you're CIA, you've got diplomatic immunity, haven't you? So that's why you got away with it.
He's a double O.
He's a double O. Double O, dear Atley.
More like a triple O. Oh.
Talking of uh-ohs, Jeffrey, how are you feeling, mate? Second shift after being ill. Are you going to be flagging at the end of this, you think?
I may very well. I made a cup of tea to help get me through and keep my voice working too.
Can't beat tea and sympathy, mate. That's incredibly British.
I'm very British about my tea. First, I don't microwave my water. I use an electric kettle to heat the water. I am very, very much into my Earl Grey.
Good.
Also like English breakfast. And actually, I like a lot of teas.
Mate, Clement Attlee went on the radio. He said no such undertaking was taken from Mr. Hitler. And across the British nation, realising we were going into our Second World War, there was some person who said, or all the people said, "Oh, right, I'll put the kettle on."
As one does.
Tea and sympathy, mate. Yeah. It's a very British thing. And if you look at EastEnders, if you ever watch an episode of EastEnders and someone says, "Oh, I'll put the kettle on," there isn't an episode of EastEnders where someone doesn't say, "I'll put the kettle on."
I'm assuming it's like a contractual obligation that it has to be in every single
classic
episode.
British, mate. Tea and sympathy.
I have a weather update for you. You know, this morning...
It was just sunny this morning, but now...
It was just sunny this morning. It snowed, and now it's sunny again.
Okay, so the snow's gone as well.
And the snow is gone as well.
Oh, that's brief. Yes. That's right. Four seasons in one day. Next to him, it's Greeny Boy. How you doing, buddy? Apart from the fact you feel ill.
Yeah, I do feel a bit ill, but other than that, I'm okay. Yeah, life is good, pretty much. I'm moving house this... not like tomorrow weekend, the weekend after.
Cool.
So, well, I've been in this sort of shared house for a year and a half. And you know what it's like? It's not great when you've got, you know, a bunch of people you don't really know. I've got a flat now, and it's quite nice.
Awesome.
It's still, still in Iron Ridge, but it's quite modern and quite nice. Excellent. Yeah, looking forward to moving in.
Glad to hear you're doing well, mate. You certainly deserve it. Patrice is here as well, second show for him too, and you've still got no furniture.
Yeah, I still got no furniture. I can give you a weather report, though.
Really? You've got a window. Outside. The windows have arrived.
It's dark.
Yeah.
That's not weather.
9:20 no? p.m. and all is well. So you've got the new apartment. You've got your internet connection, which is a bit dubious. Mm-hmm. No furniture, just a mattress on the floor. It's all going well for you then.
Yeah, it's going well. I think the internet connection thing might just be with the Wi-Fi. Like, I'm waiting for my proper Wi-Fi router to come, and then it'll be better.
Any word on the missus and the kids coming over?
Well, we filed the paperwork, and now we're waiting until like the end of the month for hopefully no response, so we can just get a judgment and be done with.
Well, the thing you've got in your favour, though, mate, is no one marries to get into Germany or Austria. I married my husband so I could get Austrian citizenship.
The paperwork is in the US, and it's not for Austria or Germany. It's literally custody stuff in the US.
Right, okay. Yeah. Leave that well alone. That's not funny. I'm not going to take the mickey out of that. But I will take the mickey out of one gets married to get into Germany.
Well, my wife did.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Love is. and last but by no means least, he sat patiently in the studio all afternoon listening to me do a photo show and chomping his dinner all the way through it and shuffling the paper bag and then creaking the chair.
Sound effects.
Thanks, mate. And he sat patiently through the Mac show, although he's bursting to say something I just know. Muller, how you doing, mate?
Hello, mate. I'm all right. Yeah.
It's you've changed your setup there. You've got your mic off to the right and you're looking at the camera periodically when you talk. You're a little professional broadcaster now, mate.
I'm getting there, aren't I? I'm getting
you are. There. Yeah. You're starting to.
I'm getting there. I'll have it right in about 10 years' time when you've packed it up.
Oh, yeah. If I go, based on today, if I go that long, Christ.
Actually, I'll get it right, but when at least launches his Microsoft show, maybe I'll have it right by then.
Yeah, you'll have to go on the Microsoft show then, can't you? And I can go on it because I've got Windows 10 on a laptop, so I qualify.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Some good stuff on it.
The Week in Tech. It's the No Price, No Date show. In Las Vegas, so I'm sure something from that is going to crop itself up during the course of it. If you're part of had anything to do with TravelX in the last few days, I don't envy you because they're in a right old state. I think Muller's put that as his story though, so that's off limits now. Oh, you haven't?
No.
So someone may have that story. But who's going to start us off? Who's got the fastest fingers in the West?
Patrice
narrowly followed.
Patrice.
Narrowly followed.
Yeah, they got a really nice story.
It's a juicy one.
Patrice, I almost went with your story.
Good. You guys might have seen those electric scooters that are popping up, definitely all over the US. I'm guessing in the UK, even here in Austria.
Oh, God, yeah.
Actually, Linz has like a bunch of them. So apparently two of those companies, Lime, which is probably the most well-known of the bunch, and Bolt, suddenly pulled scooters in a bunch of cities and also laid off 10% of their workforce.
Oh, right.
And funny enough, Linz is one of the cities where they're pulling their scooters and laying off people. So that was kind of funny.
So this is purely financial troubles, is it, for them?
Yeah, that's financial troubles. They're saying, yeah, they're streamlining things to be profitable and being financially independent, which probably means they want to get more investors on board. I'm honestly not surprised. I mean, I only know about Phoenix, and Phoenix is the other city, but it's one of the other cities where they're pulling their stuff. I only know Phoenix and Linz, and here there are five different companies. Like, if I walk down the street here, I will walk past five or even maybe six different scooters and scooter companies. So it kind of makes sense that that's not sustainable. It's just too much. Nobody's going to sign up for five different apps just to rent an electric scooter.
Yeah, no.
It's just it's too much. I mean, it was fun, and it's definitely not, I really enjoy them, and I've used them once or twice, and I know that they're, especially in California, they're super popular, but the market can only survive or only like supports so many scooters and scooter companies.
Yeah, I mean, is there a fundamental issue with the scooter market? Because, I mean, these things are generally limited to about 12 miles per hour. Because a lot of people ride them on pavement, so that's a good thing. But it'd be better to make them towards more street legal and licensed vehicles and allow people to go a little bit faster, say up to 30, because then it becomes a real proper commuter vehicle rather than which at the moment they're kind of more like toy novelty vehicles. They're not good for solving the commuting problem.
30 miles an hour, though. If you come off one of those at 30 miles an hour, you're going
to
be in a...
Well, you'd have to wear a helmet. That's got to be mandatory, but...
No, you've got no protection.
Yeah, but that's Darwinism for douchebags.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's...
To find.
What if it's a stolen card?
Well, yeah, you're tough. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's probably the same with scooters. Like, they're connected to your app, to your account, until you, like, basically stop using them, and then they lock, and, like, I mean...
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like, they get vandalized every now and then, but I haven't seen any here. Like, it seems to be working. Like, I see a lot of them in pretty good condition here.
Excellent. Jeffrey, your story is interesting. So, at CES, normally, you know, the biggest thing that you get there is your tour around the sex toys... with us, and there's no price or no date for them.
But I don't go anymore.
But Toyota have come out, they've got a no price and no date, admittedly, but they're building a 175 acre city, according to you. Talk us through this one.
Yes. Okay. So what Toyota's doing, and this is near Mount Fuji, they're building a model city. And by model city, I mean it will be an actual city that people live and work in, but they're designing it so that they can use it as a test bed for new technologies. So you know, like interconnected devices and AI technologies, and of course, a big part of this will include transportation technology because, you know, it's Toyota. So I find this very interesting because this is a place that people will literally live and work, and it will be completely under Toyota's control. So I'm curious to see what sort of technological advancements come out of this, especially because they're designing it so that it's supposed to be more of a sustainable community, an environmentally friendly community. But then I also look at this and I think, okay, well, there's a time in the United States when we had what were called company towns.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's a thing where if you worked for a company, you lived in company provided housing on company property, you were paid in company money, and everything you bought from the company store with the company money. And if you look at the way Google has their campuses set up, they're only a step away from being a company town already. So I'm curious if we will see companies like Google take the Toyota step and make their own cities, to speak. But in fact, they're actually more like glorified company towns.
Well, it was called a living laboratory, wasn't it?
You know that already is that already exists. I think was it Bill Gates? I think it was Bill Gates. It built or is building a city in Arizona. Like it was like even. Like,
hang on. Before we get too far away for building up the future and say the future started with Bill Gates or whoever beforehand, it actually started with the Cadburys because they built Bourneville to service all of their factories for their office work, their factory workers. So. Yeah, back to the 1700s. So
yeah, Hershey, Pennsylvania was similar too, was it not?
Yeah, I'll lay me willy on the table with that one, one's going to trump it.
There's a couple up in the north as well, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. So mill towns, exactly. Mill towns and woolen towns.
Mill towns, yes.
Yeah. The thing that I thought was interesting was one of the phrases that I read in this was "living laboratory." That was the word that was used in one of the coverages of this, and that's quite interesting because that's. Now, how do you sell a living laboratory without the lab rat connotation of their inhabitants? Yeah.
There is that. So I'm assuming some of the people that will be living in this community will be scientists that are studying whatever technologies or human interaction in this type of community. Toyota, they're inviting other companies to come in and use part of the city at different times. So I'm thinking there can be a lot of interesting data that can come out of this community that Toyota is going to build.
Yeah, there has been a city like that I think it's in Germany. I'm either in Germany or in Switzerland. I'm not 100% certain. I remember it, but there has been a city for like at least 20 years like that, where families can move in for I think it's a month or two or three, and live there and try new technology. Like they tried the whole fridges that deliver food and stuff like that. They first tested them in those cities. I think it's in Germany. I think it's Fraunhofer.
Interesting.
Bradford Saltaire says Bob Beach is one of those sorts of towns. Thank you, mate. The other thing is, it's like if you've got a security firm there that twins with them or something like that, you hire a professional thief for the town, who then goes around trying to break into it. Or you've got an anti-vandal paint, so you hire a professional vandal artist. Banksy's got a job there doing spray, and it just all melts off the wall because it's. Yeah. That's a great idea. Yeah. The living laboratory thing bothers me because that's like, at what point do I just stop being a human being with rights and become your lab rat? But I think it's a great idea. And if you're saying about the exponential value of technology, because it becomes a beta test environment for everything that you come out with. You know, and as long as people don't start getting killed, obviously, or injured with it. But I think it's a great idea. I'd sign it. I wouldn't want to go and live in Japan under Mount Fuji, admittedly. But I'd sign up for a place here that gave me a house for 6 months while I could rent mine out and coin it and then come back. Be good.
Yeah, me too.
I think it would be a really interesting experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I would do that too. I think the cool thing is that like those cities allow you to test things in combination. Like, I mean, you can test individual things, like whatever the street lights that like disappear at night or whatever, like during the day. But testing everything in conjunction, figuring out that what works and what doesn't work, that's actually, I think that's really valuable and also very interesting.
I love the fact that the bloke that sat in a room with no furniture is going, I'd move into this ready-built place that's fully warm and got furniture and I wouldn't be sat on the floor leaning over with a cushion under me.
I would totally do that.
Anything's better than this. And it's in Japan, not Austria. Friggin' freezing. Yeah. Good story. Two good stories, actually, to kick us off. Bars high. Who's putting the next one in? Oh, Atlee, look at that. He just... You're right, mate.
Care.
That was,
he doesn't care, does he?
All right. Okay, this is interesting. Microsoft debuts a tool which catches predators.
So Microsoft's starting to use some of their work in AI to help extend out and detect people based on known types of behaviors that could be identified as sexual predators online. Mm-hmm. And they're introducing these tools into things like gaming platforms and things like that. And I think that this, honestly, could be a really interesting use for AI.
Now my daughter plays Roblox, and it says here that Microsoft first collaborated with the game Roblox to look for people doing this, which gives me great hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I think that we've got to use some of these great technologies and some of these great things that we're building to protect us as much as it is to make money purely. It's interesting to see a social initiative like this taken on by Microsoft.
I'm guessing, I mean, this is one of those things I was sitting, okay, that's interesting. How does it do that? But then you tell me how it does it and it kind of loses its potency, I guess. But it's obviously, is it looking for sites that you deliver to or sites that you attend or sites that you put
No, it actually looks at your behavior in online chat forums and things like that that look for behavior to try and track people that are trying to entice children.
So, I'm not wishing to be flippant about this, but...
No, of course.
I'm thinking, well, so what kind of... Because it's obvious, if you write, well, do you want to go and see some puppies? Do you fancy some sweets? That kind of cyber equivalent of that statement should raise red flags dead easy. You don't need AI to find that kind
of... Well, no, but this is to go outside those edges to the
exactly.
people that
so I'm smarter interested.
And more intelligent about, you know, not being straight and... forward is it's to help put in a stopgap that will help to recognize flags and signals that children won't necessarily recognize and possibly even parents wouldn't recognize. Yeah. The softer, more subtle signals and the things that predators do to try and entice children into a situation where they're either sharing images on themselves or meeting in person or doing things like that.
I know
one of those things that as the machines learn, they will become more and more able to detect more and more things. So it's one of those things that will grow with the predators. As predators adopt new tactics and new things like this, this will also evolve. Instead of being some of the more static things that we've put in place in the past that have been, this finds, like you said, the A, B, or C of it. But doesn't grow to sort of see the patterns evolving and developing. So the AIs can learn as predators are starting to do more things.
Yeah.
I think all big tech companies have, like in recent years, updated their privacy policies to specifically allow this type of system. I know, for example, that iCloud and iCloud Photo with Apple, they do the same thing. Like there was a story about that recently, but they said everybody's. I think Google's doing the same thing. Like they're all doing that, and I think it's good because, like, I mean, we can do something, and like we should.
Mm-hmm. Well, Microsoft was just recently, I think, was voted the most was the most trustworthy technology company in the world.
Yeah.
Nice. And they're trying to make sure that they further the position and try to lead by example to try and come up with ways that we can better our society instead of just make money, which is interesting to see.
This is quite interesting as well, that the conversation is a risk score, and the risk score is automatically allocated by the algorithm that then raises flags so it can be reviewed by a human being before it's passed to law enforcement. I think that's brilliant because, you know, something that's automated has got red flags written all over it to start with. And something that's as obvious as we were just talking about has got red flags written all over it. The fact that it's is saying, okay, this may be worth review. And actually, there could be conversations which raise flags, but a human being looks at it and goes, yeah, no, that's innocent. Fine, yeah. You know, that's fine. That's not the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Yeah. And I mean, that whole thing feeds then back into the algorithm again. Like, I mean, if it's a false positive, like the algorithm learns that, okay, this wasn't correct, and next time it will not make the same mistake. So that's the cool thing.
Or when this is accompanied by this, that more likely to be a false positive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the fact that they're evolving human interaction with it as well to give you that stopgap. So it's not just, oh, my life was ruined by a machine. No, a machine looked at it, alerted some people. Those people alerted other people. Those people also looked at it, and that's why you're going to jail, or that's why you're being, investigated. So, I like the methodology that they're using, and I like the fact that they're using a system that will evolve with, you know, with the types of behaviors that these predators in our society use.
Yeah, that's got to be a real positive. I mean, I used to coach rugby, and we used to get, I think it's an incredibly difficult job for governing bodies to act responsibly but not appear to be overzealous about it. But we had a workshop with some people who were safeguarders for this body, and they came over as basically, you know, you get contact in terms of the way that you teach the rugby, and it's okay to touch the kids to show them body positions and that kind of stuff. But the rest of the time, you don't touch them. You make sure you're not alone in a car with them and that kind of stuff. And you get all real good, sensible stuff that I was like, yeah, lapping it up. But then she went on to this thing about, well, you know, so you shouldn't encourage them to fraternize outside of the rugby environment with you. I'm like, so my son invited his best friend to come to rugby, and the pair of them are now playing rugby together. So yeah. So how do we deal with that? Well, you've changed the dynamic of the relationship, so you have to change.
Yeah.
But he's not going to accept that. Can so-and-so come round and play? Yeah, of course he can. Well, sorry, you have to stop that. No, that's not it. And, yeah. And I made a flippant comment there, and I said, I'm not going to ask the question about sleepovers then. I was lambasted for being flippant about it, and it was just like, you don't get it. People are still friends.
Yes, people still have relationships.
That's what really encourages me about this. Like you said,
they're on that team because they were friends to begin with. I already had a secondary relationship with this person.
Yeah, exactly.
This child, because he was over. He's over at my house because of my son. And I think that there's I keep saying it, is that society is in a pendulum swing right now. We're swinging too far to one side because of all the things that have been happening in the past while, and the things that have gone unchecked, and the things that have gone happen. It's similar to where you get to the point where you're not allowed to discipline your kids in any way physically. It's because when I was growing up, it was okay not only to beat your kids, but if you saw someone else's kids acting out of line, beat them too. But the thing is,
I totally get that.
What?
I totally get that. My father always tells stories that he used to come back and say that such and such had hit him. And my grandmother would say, well, you probably deserved it. And then he carried on remonstrating, so she'd hit him instead. And it was just like, yeah, okay, it's done.
Yeah.
Get on with it. Bob Peach has put, I'm impressed with your faith in machine learning AI, and I'm a bit more sceptical. Now, I'm sceptical too, but what I'm encouraged by is the fact that it is a balance there between the thing raising flags and then people being involved going, calm down. As long as those people do come in and go, right.
I would be like, oh, no, this is a step too far, because someone's going to game the system, or they're going to do something, or it's going to have...
It goes both ways.
You're going to be dragging people down, coaches.
You're going to get people who are perfectly reasonable and responsible getting tagged by it, and people who are paedophiles going under the radar because they've worked out how to... But there's a great comment here. Courtney McGuire, Microsoft Chief Digital Officer, said, this is not a panacea. By no means a panacea. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. And I like the fact that it's going to be manned by people that do this for a living. So they are people that are versed in the differences of human relationship and the different types of relationship they can have, so that they're not as quick to go, oh, no, trigger. And so it's I think, it, like you said, it's a decent balance, which I think is what is the most impressive part of it.
Really good. Microsoft's killing it.
One thing we haven't talked about yet with this is privacy. And so here's where I'm going with this. Mm. I'm wondering, is this system the compromise that will be more acceptable for privacy? Because you don't want to have people reading all of your personal conversations, even if it's in just a game.
So you'd hope it would be anonymized. So person X said this, person child Y received this, said this. And you'd have those interactions, and then you'd apply a name to it if it was scaled up to law enforcement, I guess. But
exactly. So that actually sort of goes by the way that Microsoft's privacy policies are set. Is the privacy policies are set to identify you as an individual, but not as which individual you are. So it identifies you as a separate entity, but doesn't identify which, like, anything about you, your name, your age, your sex, any of that stuff. And then the policies on their chats say that your privacy is completely protected unless you are detected by the system for, doing something that's against the system's policies. And they've had in their chats for a long time things that detect words that are, not considered favorable or that are harsh or aggressive or considered cyberbullying terms, and that you can get your account flagged just by using them, even if people don't report you. And that's something that's been around on Xbox Live for a while. And everybody's been fine with it, and I don't see anything wrong with that. You are not in a public thing. You are in a forum that is owned by a company that you are paying that company to do this, and they told you right up front, hey, you're going to be fine here. We're not going to care what you say or anything until someone either reports you or you do things that we have stated that are banned in this way. And they clearly state any kind of luring, any kind of bullying, any kind of, you know, aggression or offensive behavior, or any kind of nudity, any of those things. Mm-hmm. Those things are automatically detected and flagged. I don't see any problem with that.
So I think Greeny's going to chime in here because he's probably in the same boat as me. I've got a 16-year-old and a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. And the constant battle I've had in my mind since tech became part of both of their lives is, do they have a right to privacy? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of me says no. And actually with Ellis, I was a bit brutal. I had the password to his email. I told him if he changed it, he'd lost all of his games and that kind of stuff. And I reserved the right to go through his email. Then I didn't actually ever really go through it. I'd just see the headings of emails that would come in, and that was it. And I had his Twitter account and that kind of stuff, and I never really looked at it because I felt uncomfortable about doing it, because he does have a certain requirement of privacy. I just wanted to make sure he was safe, nothing more than that. Mm-hmm. With Bryony, I thought because she's a girl, I'd probably do it more so, and actually I'd probably do it less so with Bryony than I did with Ellis. And I don't know why.
Second kid syndrome.
Well, it could be second kid syndrome. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't feel as under threat with her. Maybe because I think she's a little bit more savvy, because she's got Ellis guiding her as well as me now. So, but I mean, I know Will's two are heavily into their tech the same way. And does my child have a right to privacy over, or should I just actually just say sorry? Until you're 16, I can watch all of your social stuff.
Well, I think
that was a point for Greeny. Sorry, Greeny, go ahead.
Yes, I have a right to privacy, but also monitor them as well. I mean, the thing that in some ways I don't realise is we are sort of tech experts and can quite easily monitor what they're up to and so forth, and what websites they visit. And that part doesn't worry me too much. It's the how long they spend in front of these devices that worries me, and it's difficult to stop them. It really is.
I've got to say, Greeny, having an argument over how long they spend in front of tech is far harder for me than the privacy one. That's a piece of it. Privacy is easy compared to an argument over how long they've been on social media.
Yeah,
but see, Briny spends all day on FaceTime with her mate May. And I was kind of like, well, there's a bit of me's like, well, I wouldn't be upset if May was round here all the time. So why am I upset when she's just having a FaceTime conversation with her? Mm-hmm. And I found that really hard because the mode of contact has changed. Ellis has got some great mates over the internet. They're kids in America. He doesn't tell them where he lives and that kind of stuff, but they talk and they play constantly on Xbox and have a great time, or PS4, and have a great time together. He's mm-hmm. got good mates. And then, you know, I'm sitting like, Ellis, you've got to be careful. And he's like, mate, you see, are you kidding me? And I'm like, what do you mean? He says, every summer you have 30 people come round our house that you met on the internet.
Yeah. that's a really good point.
Touché.
And you do hang out with us online every week.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that, for one, the whole privacy topic with, like, Microsoft is kind of, like, I mean, there shouldn't be any expectation.
No idea what Patrice is saying right now.
For their service. You're using their service.
Why?
Yeah, we didn't hear any of that, Patrice. You were gone.
Microsoft detected that someone was shit-talking them on Skype. I was accused. You were just...
It must be something between here and UK or something.
Save me some bleeping.
Microsoft owns the chats. Like, there's no, like, you signed up for their service, you're using it, they own to some extent that data. They're not allowed to share it, but they can do whatever they put in their privacy policy with it. So there's no expectation of anything. I mean, kind of to Adley's point, like, there's no expectation of anything. They can do what they say they will do with that data.
Yeah.
They can share it. That might be illegal, especially in Europe with GDPR, but they can do within the company whatever they want.
I think that it seems kind of strange to me that all of these people are thinking that oh, well, Twitter banned me for my behavior. They shouldn't have the right to do that. Why? It's their company. It's their tools. They built the stuff. You're using it, and in a lot of cases, for free. These are not public entities. These are not governmentally bound entities. These are not things that are owned by the general public. These are companies. This is that's doing something, and you had the opportunity to read exactly what their rules were, and none of us did.
Yeah, but I think generally speaking, even Facebook, you know, they generally do a fair job in protecting data. They use the data, but it is anonymized, or they do stuff on it that doesn't go outside of their sphere. Yes, they make the odd mistake, but generally the principle is good of what they're doing, and I just refuse to see all companies as bad with data privacy. I just won't do it.
Well, it's not necessarily the privacy. Yeah. I think it's – or privacy, Jesus. I think that people are complaining that the companies are using their data in ways that they don't want them to use their data, but you gave them the data freely. I mean, we did not – you know, we don't really seem to have much of a value for our personal information or our images or anything else because we give them to these companies all the time. Facebook has been saying from the very beginning, they own your pictures. If you put them up on Facebook, they own them. They own an awful lot of pictures from an awful lot of people that don't seem to really realize that those are actually Facebook's property.
But then you look at the actual requirements of copyright. They can't do anything else. They cannot physically show it on their site without your permission. So they have to take a blanket permission off you. It's a terribly hard thing to deal with.
I agree. I completely agree. I'm just saying that we have given up a lot of these rights and these things, and then people go in after the fact and go, well, wait a minute, I don't like that. Like, well, you should have read.
I think
if you didn't like it, then don't join and don't do these things.
Yeah, we have the right to show your videos and pictures wherever we want, tough shit. That's fine. Yeah. It's when they say, and we have the right to sell them to Associated Press or Getty Images and make money from them. No, sorry, you can't do that. You can't make money from it. But you
realistically, if they own them, yes, they can. And if you don't like that, then you don't use the service. I mean, it's a company. It's not there to provide Facebook provides an awful lot of crap for free.
Ton of grief on a podcast where someone said to me, but you don't have a Flickr account. How are you a professional photographer without a Flickr account? I'm a professional photographer, I assure you. I get paid. And that's the reason I don't have a Flickr account.
A Flickr account, exactly.
Because they're my images. I don't want anyone to steal them.
And that's the thing. That's the choice that you made. You made that because they're going to use them in ways that will make them money. Well, no, this is your product. This is your work product. So you're not going to put it up there. And that's the decision we have to be willing to make as individuals. And a lot of times we just – and I would say a lot of times, 99.9999% of the time – we just push the, accept your privacy policy, blah, whatever your rules and regulations. And then we go on and go do it and then act all butthurt when things aren't going exactly the way we thought they should have written their privacy policy when we first started using the service.
Equally, in analysis, those EULAs are not horrific for what you're getting in return.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Facebook really wants to own a picture of my new cat. Okay, great, fine. There you go. Have it.
Yeah, or Instagram.
Cat. Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, we got two, Cookie and Sprout. Neither of those words are my passwords to anything, so don't even try it.
Great. And I had already started typing.
Cookie and Sprout. The kids wanted more, and I was like, yeah, okay. And I've got to say, since we've had them, I've missed Harry far more than I did beforehand.
No.
But and the little shits hate me, so they run a mile every time I walk near them, so it's even worse. But no, we went and had their inoculations yesterday, first ones, and old Cookie shit himself. He absolutely crapped himself. I put my fingers in to try and calm him down in the cage, and he was batting away at them. He was spitting. He was not a happy little bunny.
Feisty.
Yeah, and the little tiny one, Sprout, the little runt, was the bravest of the two of them by a long way. Just took it all in his stride. But we got two boy cats, so that's a good thing. So there won't be any Toms coming around spraying everywhere. Not that this is the Cookie and Sprout show. There we go. Who's got the next? There's some good stories here. Pretty good stories. What's the next one? Muller Biker's coming in next.
Yeah, the Y2K bug.
You know that's gone, right?
No, read the story. 20 years ago, look at the...
I'm joking, Muller.
Anyway, the Y2K bug is coming to bite us in the bum, because all those old machines that we all thought would by now be obsolete all mm-hmm. were patched, and apparently there's there are already machines and stuff that have broken down. Some yep. stuff has been patched, but looks like it's come back to bite us again. Not that it bit us last time much.
So how does this work then? What's so parking meters, cash registers, professional wrestling video games?
I don't pretend to understand exactly how they did it, but they patched it so that the 1919 would come up as not as 2019. Yeah. So they basically attached some, it added 20 years to every day past 19. Go on then, Rajesh, you obviously know.
It's basically they implement the logic so that any, like if you put in whatever 99, for example, as like 1999, then it would assume that it is like between, like it is 1999 and not 2099. Anything between zero, so any, like any number ending between like zero and 20, they would push into the 2000s, and anything else would be in 1900. So basically, you could, like the software would support any date between 1921 and, well, yeah, and 2020, or yeah. something like that, or like 29 or like 1919 and 2019 or something like that. And now, like basically, beginning of this year. Like all the dates are in, all of a sudden in the 1900s because like the developers or the companies back then assumed that in 20 years all the software would be patched and replaced and not like that bug wouldn't show
you
up.
You'd think they would have learned.
Yeah, they didn't.
It's like it was 20 years ago and they all forgot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amnesia. I mean, it you do. Like it's such a minor, small thing, so yeah, could you just forget?
And it was a decision made by executives that said, I'll be retiring in 15 years. So, yeah, let's make it 20.
Yeah, exactly. I bet most of the people that wrote that software is gone already as well.
Yeah, I had a discussion with like a couple of like my developer friends and like other people in the software industry about it. And I think what it shows you is like how long software actually sticks around. Mm-hmm. I know of software that was developed in the, I think, late 60s or early 70s that is at its core like a little piece still in use today. And there's plenty of software from the 80s. Like I know, like I mentioned it on Twitter, my dentist used software from the early 80s, probably still uses it.
A lot of NHS.
Software sticks around forever.
Some of the scanners and that still use mm-hmm. really old software. I mean, they're slowly being replaced, but we had something at work that was on old software, and they couldn't get it because the company no longer existed, and they mm-hmm. couldn't get anyone to understand how to change the software, so they had to get rid of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. happens all the time.
Yeah, medical equipment's famously old. Yeah.
3.1, some of it works on.
I can tell you. I mean, I'm not gonna give away any secrets when I tell you that like the company, like quite a bit of software my company sells these days is from the 90s.
Yeah, but I think I went to a thing the other day, and there's an IT guy there, and he said, so I'm looking for people who have got Windows 7 because it's end of life now, and it's mm-hmm. their computer's going to be vulnerable. And I'm sitting chuckling, and he said to me afterwards, why were you sitting chuckling? I said, I'm still working for companies that are running XP, mate. You're off your head. You know, oh, yeah, so we've got companies that are running 7 and they're coming to end of life, and we need them to have 10, and they're not going to do that. They're just not going to. They haven't done 7 yet.
It's a lot of the time it's because the machinery or the computers inside that machinery can't handle 10 anyway. It needs to be that old software. Yeah. Mm.
Well, it's not even that. It's
either that or it's a software.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Atlee.
Yes.
Well, especially a lot of the interface machine or interface software that works with machinery that's
drivers.
You know, got an interface with a computer, its software is not compatible with the newer operating systems or even in some cases the newer systems. I mean, when was the last time you saw a serial port?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I mean, there's a number of number of machinery that still use serial ports to transfer information around, and there's no reason to change it because they don't need any more bandwidth.
Yeah, or it's like 16
in the medical industry, you have a lot of machinery that was made by companies that don't even exist anymore. So there's no one to maintain or support them, which means you can't get updates, which means that for these machines that they spent, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars on and they just simply can't replace, they are stuck. So they have to use something that's stuck on XP or even 3.1.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of like ATMs, it's probably hundreds of millions that they've spent.
Yep.
Comment.
Yeah, and a lot of those ATMs are still running Windows 7.
That when she's workplace, she says we've still got 5.25-inch floppy disks in some of the machines. And she's not lying. She's not joking. That's the truth.
Yeah. Didn't we have a story recently that was it the U.S. military that retired the floppy disks now?
Yeah, I had that, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
And Ben Gillam's suggesting get people to use Linux. It's easier to keep secure and probably stands to run old software better than Windows.
Yeah, it probably does, but like that's like not reality.
Yeah,
but it's not reality because of the interface and the learning curve for administering it and handling it. In a lot of cases. No, I mean, it's gotten a lot better now, but...
The reality is more that the software already exists. Like, the problem is already there. Like, the fix is, I mean, anything you would probably run on Linux, but, like, the software is already there.
Yeah, the problem is already there. And the same thing seems to exist for small radio stations as well. Same type of thing for radio stations. I actually do the tech work for a small community radio station in this area. And the software they're using was written in Visual Basic 6.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, I mean, you can't even get Visual Basic 6 anymore from Microsoft.
Ben Gillam's chiming in on the comeback there. He's saying, bollocks, it's not that hard at all. There you go.
No, it is not. Yeah.
Well, Ben can actually go and volunteer and fix all the computers of the world then.
Yeah, there we go.
That's a bit of a big contract, mate. I don't think you think you're telling the truth there.
I made a crap ton of money in 1999 getting rid of for 2000. I should start poking my head up, see what's available.
So we could blame you for this one then.
Yeah.
No, upgrading systems so that they could, like, with new operating systems and putting new software in place. I wasn't in there patching old crappy software.
Ben's watching on Flash because he's already come back with a lull.
And I mean, you know why they patched it this weird, like with this 20-year thing, because, especially older software where like maybe the company is not around anymore, you don't want to change, like you want to change it as little as possible because you don't want to break it. Like just make it work somehow. And then like, and I think the fix that most companies are doing right now is literally the same thing. They're just going to add another 20 year and hope that until then they have to replace it.
And then it
worked the last time.
Right.
Yeah, it does work. Like, I mean, literally, it does work. And, like, I mean, it's like at some point the software hopefully will get going.
Apparently, a whole pile of parking meters in New York have rolled from 2019 to 1920. and a company called Novartis, all of their printers have refused to stop printing receipts on their cash registers. So. Because they've gone to 1920.
The parking meters in New York, what they're having to do is literally go from parking meter to parking meter and manually update software on each one of those.
Wow.
Are the parking meters refusing to accept money because it's not the right – it's all modern money now?
No, they'd be turning down credit cards because the credit cards are out of date because they're expecting them to be before 1920.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they would charge the
your expiry date is like 114 years in the future.
Exactly. The parking meter is going, that can't be right, Sonny.
Yeah,
that's the in the future.
If they also charge the 1920 rate, like the,
I'll be a lot for free then.
Here's a penny for the day.
Yeah,
just about in
25
London.
Cents. You own the spot.
How much was your parking today, Gov?
3 farthings. That'd be expensive. Jesus.
But I got a week for that.
Jesus, a week cost me tuppence.
And I got a bag of oats from a horse as well.
You can't beat a deal like that.
No, absolutely.
No.
Greeny, have you got a story for us or are you feeling too ill? He's feeling too ill. Hello, Greeny.
He's having a blowjob at the moment.
No, he's not. I think it's not that.
Totally, I can totally appreciate that.
Greeny, are you still awake? Are you still awake? No, Greeny's fallen asleep.
poor Greeny. That sucks.
If he's on mute, he's bouncing up and down. Going, no, no, I'm on mute. I'm on mute.
Must have done the traffic.
Hello,
right,
can you hear me okay?
Hello, Greeny. Got you, mate. Have you got a story for
he
us,
He woke
boy?
Up.
I've got two. One is a review and one is an opinion piece, I suppose.
Okay, go on then.
This week, I bought a Pixel book from Google with a pen.
And?
Well, it's okay.
That's exactly how you want to hear a review start. Well,
that's exactly how I expected that review to start.
It's not shit.
I'm surprised you bought one after what he said about him last year.
So you can do your sort of your G Suite. Fantastic. You can watch YouTube and Netflix, but I can't really see what else, you know, much else you can do. When I compare it to my Mac, which I can do everything on. I don't know. I don't know. Anybody else has got a Pixelbook or a Chromebook on here?
Is it more akin to an iPad than a... No.
I had a Chromebook 8 when they first come out. They were all right. They were perfect for
browsing. All they were supposed to do was use web apps and answer email, weren't they?
Yeah, but, I mean, you can use the cloud.
And as long as you stay in the Google ecosystem exclusively.
Yeah.
I mean, they're okay.
It's a bit different now because you can put
it's
Android
like having
on
an Apple product.
We can put Android on them now, can't you? And I actually put Linux on mine. It was crap, but I put it on.
Mm. And you don't have to put actually Android on them. They run Android apps.
Oh, right.
Oh, right. Okay, that's cool.
You can put Linux
Android's
on,
already
it,
on them.
If you put, I can show you a link to how to do it. It's a bit of a ball ache.
Yeah, no, I'll leave that alone. So, I bought it for work, and it works really well for work, you know, because, I mean, all I ever do really is G Suite. So it's great for that, so you sort of keep focused on it. It does this sort of, you can fold the screen back to become a tablet thing. But that to me is just, it's a bit of flim flam, really. So, the build quality is superb. It's really nice, but even when you compare it to an Apple, it still doesn't come close. It hasn't got the style of an Apple, I don't think.
You could have got a second-hand one off iMem Max.
You want one?
We can't get a Pixelbook off him.
No, we could go to Mac. They'd have sold him a second-hand Mac, wouldn't
they? Yeah, but he's got a Mac. He wanted the Pixelbook because it's part of what he does. Google Cloud, doesn't he, for a living?
All right.
So that's your review. It's not shite, but it's not good.
No, it's not brilliant, is it?
And what's your opinion then?
It's got no
What's
more
your opinion
work.
Piece?
My opinion solid, piece is I've been using Macs all my life. And through the years, iTunes became like a jewel in the crown of Apple. And I've always loved it, and it's always been solid and stable for the most part. And now they decided to split it up, and it is the biggest bag of shit I have ever known. It's buggy, and it's just horrible. It reminds me of, you remember, there was that guy, what was he called, Skeuomorphic or something like that?
Yeah. Old Scott Forstall.
What is it? And they got, they just sacked him. They said, this is shit. So whoever's done this to iTunes, I think should get the sack as well. And go back to the way it used to be, because it was so much better.
It is shit.
It should be burnt down, shouldn't it?
Yeah, iTunes still exists. No, iTunes still exists. There's still an icon, and it does. But the thing is, it just does music now. The iTunes icon is the same, and it just does music. And there's nowhere in there for podcasts. It's just horrific trying to look for the charts for podcasts or to try and find new podcasts. You've got to go through the podcasts app on iOS. There is nothing else to it. But that said, I don't think that many people listen to podcasts on their desktop, so why would you? That's a good point.
You can find podcasts.
And Apple TV is doing all the
vision. There's a podcast app for the Mac, right?
Find a bear.
There is a podcast app for the Mac.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's right next, on Catalina, it's right next to music, and I haven't seen it until now.
It's the same, surely.
Well, there you go. That says a lot about the app now, doesn't it?
It does. Mm-hmm. It's the same icon as it on the iOS. So, right, okay. Yeah, so no, it's great, Greeny. I don't know what you're on about.
Okay. Well, I wish you well with it. I think it's bloody awful.
Well, get yourself a PC and you can have the old iTunes back.
See, that's where I don't get that they've hived off, unless there's a bigger thing coming. I don't get why they've hived off podcasts, because that is just, it's audio. They should have just had
the audio.
Oh, yes, Jeffrey, tell us.
Okay, so iTunes, it started as SoundJam. So it was a music playing application, and then as Apple's ecosystem evolved, they needed a place to put all this other stuff, and so it just got bolted onto iTunes. And so then iTunes grew and grew and grew into and Greeny, I know you liked iTunes, but I'm in the other camp where, holy crap, what a monstrosity it became.
Yeah.
And there were so many things in there that just simply didn't make sense to me. And part of the problem was Apple's back end. And so they had this whole system where everything had become this convoluted spaghetti mess. And they realized years ago, they need to fix that problem. And to do it without breaking everything that's come before is actually quite a monumental task. And so they're in what I see as a multi-year process. And they started this process with front-end stuff on iOS. And they've been working on back-end stuff. And so now they've brought some of that front end stuff to the Mac, and I think we're in what is going to be a somewhat painful process over the next couple years at least, while they get the rest of this cleaned up and the pieces that need to be pulled apart so that they can grow them and maintain them correctly going forward. I think that's where we are right now. So we will be in this window where there will be people like Greeny that are saying, oh, my God, it's so much worse now. And then there'll be other people saying, well, at least it's better than what it was. And hopefully in the end, when all the dust finally settles, Apple will have everything on the back end sorted out the way they need to sort it out, and on the front end as well. And we won't have had anything break from a user perspective along the way. Because can you imagine someone that's bought, say, 50 movies on the iTunes store, and for 3 weeks they can't watch any of them because Apple had to shut off part of the back end to upgrade it? Mm-hmm. That would never fly.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Jeff on that one. I'm in the camp it's better. Like iTunes was a monstrosity, and like the new apps allow Apple to tailor them. I think podcasts especially makes a lot of sense. A lot of people, like, it's a dedicated instead of something else. And isn't podcasts one of the first, like, what we now know as Catalyst apps? I think it was one of the first ones that came over.
Oh yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it makes it easier. And I mean, to be honest, like the current apps are to some extent crap. I mean, the Apple TV app, I think in the background is literally just a copy of iTunes, like of the music app, where they maybe removed a couple of things. You can see that in the menus or whatever, like they look exactly like in the music app. It's not good, but I think I agree. Like, it's give it a year or two, and then it will be better.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not convinced, but yeah. Okay.
I think. Obviously, he's a podcaster. I'm a podcaster. And if you want to check the charts and see how you're doing in the charts, I still can't figure out how to do that.
It's pointless. We used to be in the, we were in the top 200 technology podcasts, and we were regularly in the top 20 of the news shows. And technology news now is in news, so it's unfindable because there's no subcategories anymore. And technology is just massive, and we don't appear in that anymore now. We're non-existent in terms of people finding this at random.
I think there's still technology news. It's just a subcategory of news.
No, it's a subcategory of news, but you can't find subcategories anymore.
Okay.
So you've got news, and you can click on news, but then you can't go to tech news. You can either go to see all top shows or see all top episodes, and that's it. There is no subcategory for tech news. All the subcategories are gone.
Yeah,
it's rubbish.
Well, it's not rubbish because the thing is, now that the BBC and NBC and all of the LBC and Murdoch and all of that have got into doing podcasting, they've just become popular and dominated it, and all of the independent podcasters are pushed out now unless they've got a show which is just massive.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is an ongoing problem, the discoverability. And it's a huge problem for podcasts, but it's anywhere else or everywhere else online too. I mean, how do you find new music that you like? How do you find new TV shows and new movies to watch? Yeah. How do you find out about new books to read? In most cases, it's not because you found a great way to discover these things in an app. It's because someone tells you, hey, I watched this new show or I read this really great book. And so discoverability is still a word of mouth thing. And no one has cracked that for online.
I think the thing that's sad is that there's a group of us, you know, that do Mac news and do tech news, and those tech news people, Mac OS Ken has been doing it for years. He's massively up in the charts always. He's gone now. He's obsolete entirely from the British podcasting scene.
He's number two. Yeah. I've just checked him.
He's number two at what?
Well, if you go in and browse, he's number two. He's in front of all the twit.
How do you? What have you browsed for though?
I'll show you. I went in there. Oh, hold on.
I'm still there. I'm in more to explore under tech.
All right, here we go. Tech news, I've got it. Okay, so that's under browse now.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're right up there. We're in the top 10. So that'll do.
Oh, nice.
Hey.
That's a nice surprise.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact that you looked in the wrong place should tell you something.
It's in that app you didn't know existed.
Yeah, no, it's in the app I didn't know existed that I've now opened on a tab that I just thought, well, what's the point of browse? But actually, tech news has got its own category there, which you can find. But there's the point. It's hard to find. It's it's not obvious.
Yes.
And that's the thing.
Discoverability sucks.
I am agreed in the fact that I am old, and there is a possibility that this is a problem with being old. But I look at manuals now, and I just like, where they start, I'm just, where you've started from, that's not freaking logical. You've started in a completely illogical fashion to solving the problem that someone would have if they were presented to you. You have not started at the place where everyone else would start logically. And it is a threshold of knowledge where people presume that there is a level of knowledge that is in excess of that which the person who's buying it uses it. Yeah, no, that's interesting. Long-running shows. I wonder who's in technology long-running shows.
I'm looking right now. There's Mac OS Ken.
Again.
He's in there.
Matt Cast is in there.
Adam's in there.
And
no, he's not.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. This Week in Tech. TED Talks Daily.
Well, we've run longer than nearly all of those shows.
Tested is in there, but Tested is a relatively new podcast. Like, like, it's what, 2 years old?
Yeah.
I don't consider that long running. Oh, Mackie Cab is in there.
I don't want it to sound like I'm. I don't want it to sound like I'm bleating. I'm not. It just, it's like, you know, when you're small, you rely on people finding you. And I don't know how people have found us. In the past, you know, you'd get British tech news, and we'd come up. We'd do really, really well, but.
I think that it means that there's a lot of new content. It goes for all kinds of content, new games, new apps, new podcasts, new music that goes virtually undetected by the great population.
Mm. I mean, Mac Show's in there and British Tech Network's in there, obviously, as a result now. But News Show was always in the top 200 comfortably, and Big Show was always in the top 100 quite comfortably, and that's non-existent now. So might as well just give up, eh, Phyllis?
No.
We're not giving up, don't worry. We're still going to keep going. We'll still be here. We'll still be broadcasting even when no one listens. And we've got loads of people that listen. Yeah.
You know, we're so dedicated that Greeny is willing to do the show from his deathbed.
It is. It's true. It's true. Absolutely true. Jeff has been sick. This is his second podcast today for us, and he's been sick. He must be knackered.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally taking a nap when we're done.
Patrice is doing it from an empty...
Oh, so I am exhausted.
Patrice is doing it from... Patrice could be furnishing his room, but no, he's doing it from an empty room so he can come on our shows. Atlee's got bodies to stash, but he's still here.
I haven't even finished building the building I'm in, and I'm here.
Exactly. And the other people that are brilliant are the people that look after us, and TSO hosts are those people. They're absolutely amazing. They've got some really, really good deals for hosting, full stop, you should go and check out what their offerings are. Batwinch wrote this week and said that she's going to change everything over. Now her deals are finished with the people that she's with. She's going to move it all over to TSO Host. And if you do that, then make sure you use the offer code BTN20 because that gets 20% off your basket. But also make sure that you give them a shout out on social media. At TSO Host, thanks for supporting at British Tech. Now, a lot of you have been doing that before Christmas. We've got to keep that up because the brand recognition is what they really want from us. So get the BTN army out there and get them saying thanks to TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. We've got a couple of blogs coming up. There was one just before Christmas where I talked about various things about what the network was. You're ashamed to be my father. That's okay. thanks for doing that during the sponsor read. At least about to become one of his bodies that's going to be stashed if he doesn't watch out. So they did a bit on what the network is about and where we started and that kind of thing. There's another blog coming out where they've asked me a pile of questions about how to go about podcasting. So there's loads of information coming from that one as well. So that should get us a bit of nice little bit of a plug. And also I'm going to do a blog for them on photography on a periodic basis. And the photo show came back today. And without them, we wouldn't be able to post all of this rubbish online so that you can listen to it and absolve it and also host the last 11 years of podcasting that have taken place on this network. 11 years of making these shows. Wouldn't be anywhere else. I love my podcasting once I get started. And also, thank you to iMen Max. They are a local firm here in Birmingham, but it doesn't matter where you are in the country, you can send your stuff to them. If you've got any kind of Apple repair that needs doing, they are the people. They'll replace your iPhone screen. They'll replace... your iPad screen. They'll replace the battery that's not charging on your iPad Pro, which happened this week from one of our listeners who got it done. Thank you very much. But I don't know who that listener was because they didn't tell me. So if you do get to use iMen Max, then make sure you send me an information as well that says that you had it repaired. So it's great. And the thing that is, if you've got like legacy stuff where Apple won't touch it because it's over 5 years old, these guys will. They will go under a microscope and they will solder your logic board until it works. And they will help you fit new pieces of equipment and fix stuff rather than just walking away from it. Apple are great, but once they lose you at 5 years, then you are a bit lost to the world. But these guys will save your bacon. There's loads of stuff that they can do, data recovery as well. They've got loads of stuff that's secondhand as well. So if you've got something for the kids, you can get yourself a MacBook Pro from them for about £300 that will get them to do their homework and that kind of stuff. There's loads of stuff there that will help you. Just make sure that you tell them that we sent you and let us know that you've gone as well. Cheers. Thanks for everyone who's there. But we'd be lost without them. And say thanks to at imenmax on the socials as normal. Right. Bob says, I can't remember how I even found BTN. Batwench says, I think Ewan was on a Twitch show and I kept with BTM because he dumped his ego. Ah, oh, that's nice.
Mm.
I've lost it. I can't find it anywhere, mate. No clue where I put it. Right, time for a cool thing. Start us off, Atlee Hunter.
Yeah, so I was looking for presents for family members. One of my family members had a hard drive that they used to keep all their movies that they bought and the music that they had bought on, and it had started to die and get corrupted. So I said, well, we'll get one of these. So I ended up picking up one of these. It's a fantastic little two-bay NAS that can be attached to the network, and it'll run a Plex server or a DNLS server right on the device. And I popped a couple of 4 terabyte drives into it. And
Do you think you've posted a link in the chat room? Because you haven't.
Oh, shit. I did post a link. I don't know what the hell happened.
That's a naked photo.
No, there's no.
Yeah, well, now his wife is like, why did you send me this link?
There's still no picture, Atlee.
Yeah, no. Well, here.
You know what he's done? He's just given us all the location of all the bodies.
Atlee left the chat room. That's not going to help.
Command-C, Command-V.
You're not using your app, are you, Atlee? Are you using your app?
Yeah, because the first time I tried to send it through the site, and it just didn't send.
You're not in the chat room. You've left the chat room, according to the app.
I know. I just closed it. I had to close it.
Oh, okay.
You got a broken pipe, mate.
I put it in Skype here.
That doesn't help. That just appears on the screen now, so people are rushing for a pencil to try and rapidly write it down. And it's friggin' huge.
I had put it in, and it showed that it showed up.
Slack.
And then apparently didn't do anything, so.
Send it in Slack. We can pick it up from there.
Screenshot, everyone. Screenshot.
God damn it.
We'll come back to you. Let's come back to you.
Send a carrier.
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll come back to you. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, buddy?
Well, let me start by doing a little tutorial. So, Atlee, what you do in Colloquy is take the link that you've copied to your clipboard and then paste it into the chat and hit return, and it'll show up just like this.
I'm going to dox you.
I bet you there's something in Text Expander would do that, isn't there, Jeff?
I could totally do that with Text Expander, yes.
What a fantastic program Text Expander is. Are they looking to any outlets for sponsorship now?
Yeah. On a side note, Greeny, you can use Text Expander on your Pixelbook because we have a Chrome plugin or extension.
I will download it.
And you have the Maestro at your fingertips to guide you through how to get the most out of Text Expander as well.
Absolutely.
I don't know what it does. What's it do? I've got
your webinar, Jeff. Text. Oh, what doesn't it do? That'll be quicker.
That would be quicker, yes.
Doesn't make me pee.
All right, short version. You have to type tons of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Put it all into Text Expander. And then you assign abbreviations to that. And then you can just type the abbreviation. It expands out. And it becomes the thing that you wanted to type. So it can also have code in it. It can have graphics in it. You can turn the stuff that you want to type into forms and fill that out. So you have a lot of customization options in there. And then you can put it onto to your Mac as well, and iPhone and iPad, Windows machine, whatever. And you can have all those snippets everywhere. So it's not like you have this isolated content. Just use it everywhere.
That sounds great. It's not like that bloody markup language, is it? Where,
No.
Nothing
like
that. That's awful. Yeah. Instead of being able to say bold and just hit the bold button, you had to do like, can't remember, star hyphen slash B and blah.
So don't forget to go out on the socials and say thanks at Text Expander for supporting at British Tech. There we go.
Yeah,
I've downloaded it as well.
Would you a discount code for BTN followers?
Would we?
I'll set that up.
Oh, right. We'll totally set that up.
Okay. What I'll do when we're done with the show is I'll set you up with a 20% off for a year code. How's that sound?
Brilliant.
And then and then everyone could just use it.
Mate, that sounds awesome. Discount code coming for Text Expander. Watch this space.
We haven't hit my my cool thing yet.
No, do it. So it's Lego.
Okay. Yes. So since I've been sick with the flu, not like man flu, but literal actual flu
yeah.
for the past 2 weeks, I spent a lot of time on the couch just pretending like I wouldn't die, which gave me an opportunity to play an Apple Arcade game that I've just fallen in love with, and it's called Lego Builder's Journey. And so it's a puzzle game, and it reminds me in some ways of Monument Valley, where you have these paths that you have to find or create or work your way through to get from one point on the level to the end point.
Yep.
But you're doing it all with these really beautifully done graphics of Lego bricks. And so you move bricks around to move your little Lego person from place to place and get to the end point. And it's just a really nice, relaxing, casual puzzle game. And I've enjoyed it so much. I actually completed the whole game. And most games that I play, I will get partway through and just lose interest in them. But this one I really enjoyed, and I have played the whole game. Lego Builder's Journey. It's a really nice game.
Brilliant. And it's free, of course, with
Yes, if you have Apple Arcade, it's a free game.
Yeah. Excellent. Good pick, mate. Like that. Like Lego. I'm just trying to download it, and it says I'm not connected to the Wi-Fi for some reason, which I've got no idea why not. My Wi-Fi. Should be connected.
I could see where that would be a problem.
Yeah. Greeny, have you got a cool thing set up, or do you want us to come back to you?
No, go on. Just what is on my mind. TV Plus. What a load of crap that is. It's only got about four shows.
It's got its moments.
It's got nine, actually.
It's got quite a few now, actually. And they're improving, apart from Servant.
It couldn't get much worse.
Servant seems to think that scratchy violin, long silences equals a plot. But anyway.
Do you want to try it for free for a year? And I did. I tried it, but I tried it for about a week, and I thought, this is shit.
No, you need to give it a year, because you're getting it free for a year because you bought something. So just stick with it. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay. I've got a strange, perverse almost interest in browsers, and I sort of go from one to another. And the one I've been playing with recently, which I really recommend, it's very good, is called Brave. Brave, it's free, it's very fast, and the results it gives you back seem to be nicely curated. So that's it. It works on a Mac, obviously, but I don't know whether it works on Windows or anything else. I'm not too sure.
Cool. Excellent. We're going to cut back to Atlee.
Oh.
Because we've got Atlee's link finally. So here we go. Atlee, here's your link, the Terramaster F2.
Yeah, sorry about that. So I was looking for a gift for a family member, and they had a drive that had died that was holding all of their media stuff. And they used to plug it into a device of some sort and watch it on the TV. And this allows basically just to be hooked to the network and it's a full server. It runs as a Plex server or as a DNLS server, and you can put your music, your pictures, your video on it and stream it through Plex or any of the other media server apps that are available on your TV. And so I set it up to work as a Plex server, and they can now watch the shows that they could only watch on one device in their house before. They can now watch on all their TVs, all their phones, all their iPads and tablets, and I love it. It's been great. I put a couple of hard drives in it. You can put any size drive you want in it, pretty much. I put a couple of Western Digital Reds or NAS drives. And
those are the 4 terabyte ones.
Yeah.
Good price here. They've got 4 terabyte Reds for £104 each.
Yeah. Yeah, decent price. Yeah, so the whole thing was a little more than originally we're going to spend, but a pretty reasonable gift, and it'll give them years of fun.
What are you doing, kids? Whoever's scrattling papers, Greeny, shut up. Go on mute, man.
I'm not talking.
No, you're scrattling something around.
Oh, right, sorry.
It's blowing his nose.
What did you used to do, kids? We used to huddle around the NAS drive. It was so entertaining.
Catch you warm.
No, they've got a bunch of classic cartoons that they like to have for their kids because they consider them to be safe entertainment. And there's some movies that they like that they've had for years, and also home videos that they've recorded, things that they've recorded the kids and stuff. So
fight's going to break out between Bob Beach and Greeny because he says Apple TV Plus is excellent. TMS, FAM and C are all great. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So I got something that is a little bit, I don't want to say more geeky, but it actually goes very well with our sponsor, with TSL Host.
Oh, yes.
It's Docker. Docker is it's something called a containerization platform. It's available on, I think, all major operating systems. So yep. You can run it on Windows, on the Mac, on Linux, definitely. I can tell you the entire BTN, everything on BTN runs on Docker. We run on TSO servers, TSO host servers with Docker. What it does basically is it allows you to run server software. So, something like Git, Nextcloud, a cloud storage solution, or what we're doing, our websites. There's a lot of software out there, and you can basically run your own little web server, database server, whatever, on your machine without really installing much. You install Docker, and then you simply in the command line, or I think they're GUI clients now, you say, I want to run a whatever database, and it just starts it. There's a bit of a learning curve, obviously. I said, it's more a developer-focused tool, but honestly, I think anybody who is a little bit into coding or anything would be able to use it. I got basically everybody in the backend, on the backend side, used to Docker and how it works and everything, and they're very happy. I know it took some convincing, but Anders is into Docker now.
Anders is majorly into Docker. I was going to say Andy Vaughan loves Docker. Yeah.
So as I said, works perfectly with a TSO host server.
Excellent. Good one. Like that. It's free.
It's free. Absolutely free. Yeah. Nothing you have to pay for. Just install it.
Excellent, mate. Superb. Thank you. Muller, what have you got for us?
I've got this Anker USB-C charger. It works on the MacBook Air, any phones or anything you want to use. And I bought some of these off Amazon as well, these braided cords. So it's really good. It has a little light so you know it's on. And it charges, and it's obviously a lot cheaper than the Apple one if you lose one of your Apple ones.
Yeah.
And if you look at the moment, there's an £8 voucher. So it's only 36 quid. So if you need one and you need a spare or want to charge one of your phones, I think some of the Apple phones use these now, don't they? USB-C chargers.
Phones, no.
Oh, they will.
iPad.
The Lightning.
The iPad. Well, yeah. some of their phones next year probably will, won't they, from what I hear?
I would have thought so.
I would say one of these in your arsenal would be very good. Excellent value for the money. And it's Anker. Good quality.
Price?
It's £45 there, but if you look, there's a voucher for £8 off.
Cool. Link in the chat room. If you'd like to know where to get the stuff that that we've all picked in our cool things, then just go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you can navigate to the 10th of January and scroll down to about 9:40 and there's a link there from Muller that you shouldn't click. You'll get that when you listen back to the show. Michael Thing, I'm going to do this one because I got this lined up. I'm not going to save it. Michael Thing is the Metabones T-Cine Canon EF to Sony E-mount adapter. Okay, so basically, if you've got a Sony camera, whether it's an FS5 or an FS7, and you've got an interchangeable lens ability on it, and you've got, say, an AR7 A7R3, then you can put all of your Canon lenses onto that camera by using this adapter. Now, it does change the viewing, so if you look at the millimetrage that you get, you will get a bigger coverage on the I'm not doing this very well. So like the crop factoring, you know, increases what you see. So your lens is 200 mil, it'll actually be 260 mil if you go up. This is the same kind of thing. It will add to the image that you see. You won't get the true lens. But the thing that is nice is it'll take two stops off all of your lenses. So if you stick a 2.8 lens on it with an f-stop 2.8, then when you plug this thing in, that lens will roll back to 2.0. And if you put 1.8 on it, it'll go back to 1.0. It is absolutely brilliant. It's fantastic. I've had to use manual focus on it because the autofocus is a little bit stuttery. And that could be me not selecting the right modes yet. I haven't really got into it. I used it at Christmas for the first time with the 70-200mm lens. And in low light at night shooting stuff that was really dark, because they've got these little LED lights now. They haven't got the big floodlights that they used to have on the railway that much. And I got to say, it was awesome. It was really, really good. I got a monitor on the computer, on the FS7, and I was doing manual focus with it, and it was effortless. It was really, really good. So I can't recommend it enough. It's going to cost you somewhere in the region of about 500 quid, but it's worth every penny if you're into your Canon lenses and you've got a Sony body. They do other mixes and matches, but you won't be able to go the other way. That's the only thing. So if you've got a Sony lens, you won't be able to put it on a camera body with this. It's only going that way because of the narrowing of the bayonet. There we go. I explained that really badly. Sorry if you were listening. I'm sure you'd switch off by that point, though. Oh, aye. Greeny's gone. Greeny's gone. Where can we get hold of Greeny? Greeny's at British Mac. There'll be a podcast along shortly, I'm sure. Thanks, Mona. So where can we get a hold of you, Atlee?
You can reach me at Atlee Hunter or on social media at Atlee Hunter.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, where would you be?
I am, I'm over at textexpander.com, and I'm Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm all over the internet. Ewan, I've already sent you the BTN discount code.
Oh, there's Greeny back.
Oh, great. Greeny's coming back.
Greeny's back. Greeny in the house. You sent me an offer code. Is that on mail?
No, I just sent it as a DM in Twitter.
Okay, righto.
But you've got that. But I'll tell everyone what the code is. It's BTN2020.
Mm-hmm. BTN2020. If you get Text Expander, your discount code is BTN2020. And I'm taking that's 20% off.
Yes, and also the year.
And you can use 1920s parking meters in New York.
Yeah, next year it'll roll back to £19.20 off.
Yes.
Excellent. There we go. Text Expander is Text Expander. Oh. Text Expander is now available for all BTN listeners at a discount, BTN 2020. We'll put it on the shows next week as well. We'll use that rolling forward. Get in there and fill your boots, people. Thanks, Jeff. That's lovely.
That'd be Expand Your Boots.
Expand Your Boots. There we go. Even better. Spot on.
Expand
I like that.
Your Boots.
Greeny, where can everyone get a hold of you, mate?
BritishMac.com.
Excellent, mate. Well worth the wait. And is there a British Mac show coming soon? Or?
Yeah, I've been working my socks off recently. Yep, and so I get back at the weekend, I see the kids, and then I'm back off to London again. Hmm. But I'm going to do my best to get one in. I get a free weekend in a couple of weeks. So
that's all we can ask you, mate. Is your best?
Yes. Yes.
Thanks for doing that. Brilliant. Where would you be, Patrice?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show and the Big Show, and I don't know where else in the background somewhere, and everything I do is on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. And last but no means least, Muller.
Muller Biker on Twitter and in the Slack room.
My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We've got loads of stuff happening next week. Then the following week, we're going to the 23rd. It's on the Thursday if you want to come to the live show. And we've asked Carrie Holtzman to come back. And because it's a Thursday, he might just come back. might be worthwhile. So follow us along. It'd be good. Get yourself in the chat room. Throw some abuse at us. We can deal with it. Have a great weekend, and thank you for listening. Oh, there's a photo show as well. I've done a photo show this afternoon, so there's one going out, and there's going to be one in between the Mac and the Big Show every week. So if I can get the doc done in time. So there you go. Photo shows come in. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.